Well, good morning, Encounter. How are you guys doing today? You good, yeah? Okay, all right. I guess that's as good as it gets. All right. Well, my name's Jason, and stoked and excited to be here with you this morning. Always an honor to be invited back to hang out with you guys on a Sunday morning. I was a teenager in the 1980s. Yes. One of the best decades that has ever graced this planet Earth. And one of the best things about the 1980s, I think it was probably the golden age of movies. Music was great, fashion. Yeah, I had a mullet when I was in high school. But I think one of my favorite things coming out of that decade was the movies. And I think one of my all-time favorite movies, or top 10 favorite movies from the 1980s was The Goonies. You guys remember The Goonies? Yeah, with Sloth. Hey, you guys, you know. Great, fun movie. And I think the reason that I love that movie so much was it's just this great treasure hunt, right? Action and adventure and some humor and some danger and some peril, and just a great movie. And I'll tell you what, I will never forget. I rode my bike on the last day of eighth grade from Balboa Middle School. Me and my buddies, we hopped on our bikes back when you could just, you know, ride till dark and your parents didn't know where you were. There's no cell phones or anything like that. It was a magical era. But we rode our bikes from Balboa, final day of eighth grade, okay? Rode our bikes from Balboa Middle School, then we stopped at Santino's Pizza. All right, guys remember Santino's Pizza? Is it still around? It's not. Oh, what a shame. So we stopped at Santino's Pizza. We got kicked out for starting a food fight. Hopped on our bikes again, and we drove down to the Buenaventura Shopping Center. I think it's called Pacific View now. And across the street from the shopping center back in the day, there was a movie theater, and I think it's the jewelry store now on that side of the road on Mills. So we rode our bikes down there, and we got into this movie, and we were just like just taken away and just kind of sucked into this great story of action and adventure and, like I said, treasure hunt. I think we love the idea of a treasure hunt, finding something that has been lost or finding something that nobody's ever seen before, and maybe the fame that can bring us or the wealth that can bring us. We get caught up on those stories. That's why we love movies like, or books like Treasure Island, or movies like National Treasure. You know, National Treasure, it's like a treasure hunt with U.S. history, and like, dude, that's hitting my sweet spot. I love those movies. Indiana Jones movies, they're all about treasure hunting, right? We love the idea of a treasure hunt. I mean, that's why we go to thrift stores. That's why we go to swap meets. That's why we go to yard sales. That's why we go to estate sales, hoping we're going to discover something that maybe was discarded by somebody, but we know the true value of it, right? We love going on the hunt. We love rummaging through things. We love to strike gold. I love that movie as a kid, man. It spoke to me. But what happens? What happens when we place too much value on that treasure that we have discovered? Believe it or not, Jesus actually talks about this. And if you look at Matthew chapter 6, and it's going to be on your screen, if you look at Matthew chapter 6, he talks about this concept of treasure. He talks about the appropriate emphasis that we as believers are supposed to put on this concept of treasure. And this is what it says, starting in verse 19. Like I said, it's going to be up on your screen, so follow along. It says, don't store up treasures here on earth. Well, shoot, God, haven't you ever seen Goonies? It's all about the treasure. The treasure hunt was a noble reason in Goonies, right? It was to save their home, it was to save their town. What is wrong with treasure? Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. And he goes on to say this, your eye is like the lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if that light you think, and if the light you think you have is actually darkness, man, how deep that darkness is. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Why in the world is Jesus telling the crowd this message? And by extension, why does he want us to know this? Why is this important to him? He knew that these words were going to be recorded. He knew that this message was going to continue to be perpetuated for thousands of years after his life. What's the big deal about treasure, God? What's the big deal about treasure, Jesus? And why does he use that word treasure? It's kind of an interesting term. I mean, he could have used words like, don't store up wealth here on earth. Don't store up land here on earth. Don't store up resources here on earth. Don't store up livestock here on earth. Don't store up boats here on earth. Why does he use that word treasure? Well, I think the reason that Jesus used the word treasure is because if he used anything else, there would be the option for us to say, oh, that message isn't for me. Don't store up wealth. Well, I don't really struggle with that, God. I'm pretty content with my income, and I think I'm going to be okay in retirement and got a little bit saved for the kids to go to college, so I'm not worried about storing that up. Well, don't store up land. Well, you know what? I have no desire of being a real estate tycoon. I don't desire to be a landlord. I don't desire to have multiple properties. That's just not an interest of mine. So I think the reason that Jesus uses the term treasures is by using that word is that it is an all-inclusive type of a term. So that nobody can opt out and say, well, you know, Jesus, this message isn't for me. What he wants is he wants a word that is universal. He wants a word that is going to appeal to everyone because this is a message that is important that he needs to convey to us, this concept of what we store up. So he intentionally uses the word treasure so that it would impact all of us because all of us have some type of a treasure that we value, that we esteem, and that maybe we even gain a sense of security from. So Jesus is very intentional in his wording here. He wants this message to appeal and be meaningful to every single one of the people that heard it coming live and every person that would ever read his words for thousands of years after it was spoken. So he's making this an all-inclusive, broad statement, broad moment of teaching for everyone. And that's kind of a cautionary tale that he's telling. Cautionary tale. And the reason that he tells this story is he knows our cravings. He was a human, right? God in the body, descended from heaven and lived as a man. And he understands the longings of mankind. He understands the craving we have for contentment. He understands the craving we have for satisfaction. He understands the craving we have for safety. He understands the craving we have for identity and the craving we have for security. And he knows, being a man and living amongst mankind, he knows that we believe that if we do store up enough of the right treasures, that we can have those longings and those needs met. And we begin that treasure hunt because of that. Because we have these longings and these needs in our life, we begin these treasure hunts. We begin the treasure hunt. And the thing is this, is Jesus knows how fickle the loyalty of mankind's heart can be. One day we're all into Patagonia, right? The next day we're all into Carhartt. Patagonia, it's in our backyard. It's in our back, you know. We're going to support Patagonia. Love Patagonia. But then we see Carhartt like, oh, I want to dress like a rancher. I want to be a cowboy, right? So we shift from Patagonia to Carhartt. And the trends are always, and the tastes are always changing. And Jesus knows that about that. He knows that about us. He knows how fickle our loyalty can be, that contentment and security and trust and satisfaction, it's all elusive and it's all short-lived. And he knows that. So what he's telling us here is like, please don't go down that path. Please do not store up treasures here on earth. Do not do it. You're going to change your mind a week from now. Don't go all in for that, because before you know it, something else is going to be the thing that you're chasing after. Don't go down there. Soon you're going to be looking for the next thing to give you the feelings that the old thing doesn't give you anymore. And it's this constant merry-go-round that we're on. And he says, don't go down that path. People, I have lived amongst you. I have seen it. I have experienced. Don't go down that path of storing up treasures here on earth. And that search for the treasure starts young in our lives, right? That search for satisfaction, that search for security, that search for safety, that search for identity. It starts really young, doesn't it? I mean, think back in your own life. What was like your go-to as a child that brought you a sense of security? What was that go-to thing that you had that brought you some satisfaction? What was that go-to thing that you placed great value in it? Anybody, what were some of those things look like that when you were kids? What brought you satisfaction, security, and contentment as a kid? A couple of you shouted out. Star Wars figures, who said that? Oh, child of the 80s, yeah. I still have a bunch in the attic. You know, I'm gonna sell those and become a millionaire, yeah. Somebody else, Star Wars figures. Pokemon cards, yes. Dude, you can send your kid to college if you find the right Pokemon card, right? Dang, somebody else. A what? A bike. All right, your bike brought you a sense of maybe freedom. You know, I could go do what I want to do till the street lights come on. One more, somebody else. Sense of status. What's up? Drums, you're a drummer. Oh, okay, your dad's a drummer. All right, so it's not a lot of peace and quiet in your home. Very cool. My son was a drummer for a little while, and then I got tired of the noise. For me, it started really, really young. For me, something that brought me satisfaction, brought me contentment, brought me a sense of security as a child was this beautiful thing right here. Isn't that the ugliest stuffed animal you've ever seen? This thing, I'm not afraid to admit it, I'm 52 years old. I turned 52 this year. And thank you. That's weird. Thank you. But this thing has got to be at least 50 years old. And it used to have really great stripes on. It's a tiger. And as a two-year-old or whatever, when I got it, I creatively named this tiger, Tiger. So this was my sense of security. This was my treasure as a kid. Man, this was in bed with me every night. If you went to grandma's house and you forgot Tiger, all heck broke loose. Oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? Jason doesn't have Tiger, he's not gonna make it through the night. This thing was my buddy. It's almost like, I was probably the inspiration for Calvin and Hobbes, quite honestly, you know? But this thing brought me all kinds of security. This thing brought me contentment. This was my joy. And I loved this thing to the point where the fur is falling off of this thing. He's missing like 3/4 of his nose. His mouth is gone. He's just got a random tongue stuck on the front of his face. Barely any stripes, and this thing has absolutely zero monetary value. It means absolutely nothing to every single one of you in this building, but it means something to me. And the reason I've held on to this thing for 50 years is I'm a hoarder. No, it's a good reminder. It's a good reminder where we start. It's a good reminder to me of the things that can have misplaced trust. It's a good reminder of the things that can give us misplaced hope, misplaced security. And I know it's easy to probably laugh at this really worn out, ugly stuffed animal. And maybe it's easy to laugh at the things that brought you contentment, whether it's your Star Wars figures or your Pokemons or your bike or your whatever you guys mentioned, your drums. Maybe it's easy to laugh at those childhood treasures. Laugh at our innocence, laugh at our naivete. But the reality is this, if we pause and we think about it, have we really changed that much as adults? It's probably not a 50-year-old ragged tiger that you put your hope in, that you treasure anymore and value. But it could be things like your job or the title that you have at your job. It could be power or influence that you have, or at least you think you have. It could be things like money. It could be your car. It could be your screens. We love our screens, right? It could be the teams that you root for, give you a sense of identity, give you a sense of belonging. All of my teams are really struggling right now. Green Bay Packers and the Angels are watching the World Series from their couches. Maybe your bank account. Maybe your relationships give you a sense of identity, give you a sense of security, give you a sense of hope. Maybe it's attention that you get. Maybe it's whatever the stuff is you like to collect, your stuff. Maybe it's success, maybe it's followers, I don't know, but I think you know what I mean. That we think it's funny as a child, looking back at the stuff that we held on tightly to, but I think we still hold on to things pretty tightly as adults as well. So Jesus needed to give this message to us, like, beware of what you place value in. Beware of what you place your hope in. Beware of what you consider to be your treasures, and beware of what you store up for yourself. Because whatever we focus on dictates our actions, right? Whatever has great value to us dictates our actions. I love old stuff. I do. I'm on this like old Coleman camping gear kick right now. I went to the swap meet a little while ago and I bought an old Coleman lantern that you put the white fuel in, you know, and probably hadn't been lit in 30 years, and I fired it up and like flames started shooting out everywhere. I thought it was going to burn my house down, you know. But I'm on a Coleman kick right now, and I love going to the swap meet with my buddies. We every now and then we'll go to the swap meet at the fairgrounds on Wednesday mornings. And our focus dictates our actions. When we focus on earthly success, we focus on earthly wealth, we're going to expend energy in those earthly matters. And Jesus is saying, pause, just wait a minute here. Consider the energy, consider the effort, consider the heart that you're putting into this stuff that will not last. There are many things in this world that are vying for attention and our heart and the control. And according to Jesus, determining where our treasure is also determines where our heart is, where our loyalty is, our commitment, our focus, our core of who we are. That's why Jesus used the word heart. It's the core of who we are. It makes us who we are. Our heart defines us. You know, many people claim to look forward to heaven, but their hearts are not really in it. Their hearts are caught up in the cares of this world because that's where their treasures lie. Their treasures lie in this world. And Jesus warned us that earthly currency has an expiration date. He says this, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. I have said this before and I'll say it again. You never ever see a U-Haul trailer attached to a hearse. You do not take it with you. The pharaohs tried, right? And as soon as they were dead, grave robbers broke in there and stole them blind, right? Or moth eats them and rust destroys them and thieves break in and steal. You know, these things can satisfy us temporarily, but that feeling is unstable and it's fleeting. And guys, trends change all the time. What we think we need changes all the time. Like I said, 1 week it's Patagonia, next week it's Carhartt. 1 week you're satisfied with your phone, and then all of a sudden, iPhone 15 titanium. What? Does that mean I can throw it across the room and it's not going to break? Do we finally have an invincible phone? And marketers are smart, right? They know how to hook us. They know how to keep us interested in the treasures of this world. And we keep the hunt going, and the hunt can be exhausting. King Solomon, who was the heir to the throne following King David, whose scripture described as one of the most wise men, one of the most wise people that ever walked the face of this earth, was extremely wise in certain areas of his life, not so much in other areas, women, marriages, and things like that. But he is credited with great wisdom. And this is what King Solomon had to say about this idea of the treasure hunt, this idea of storing treasures up in this earth. He says, anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. Could you imagine being in that position in your life? Whatever you seek could become yours. The latest, greatest, fill in the blank, car, technology, house, whatever you saw, you could take. And he did. Expanded his property, expanded his fame. He had the authority. He had the ability to take anything that he wanted, experience anything that he wanted. I denied myself no pleasure. Right or wrong, whatever he wanted to try and test out, he did because he had the means to make it happen. He was king. It's good to be king, right? I found even great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. Verse 11, but as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so, pause, does he say rewarding? No. Does he say satisfying? It was all so what? meaningless. This man who experienced every single thing that life had to offer, every pleasure, every position, every property, anything, every product that was in existence in his time, he denied himself none of it, and he found out that it was all meaningless. Treasures on earth. He says, it's like chasing the wind. There was nothing really worthwhile anywhere. When is the last time that you took a butterfly net and you went outside and you tried to catch the wind with it? When was the last time you took a mason jar? I heard it was windy in Ventura last night. When was the last time you took a mason jar and you ran around trying to catch the wind, you screw the lid on, and oh, I caught the wind. We don't do that because it's ridiculous. We don't do that because it's worthless. It's meaningless. Whatever's in that jar has no value whatsoever. And you run around looking like a numbskull, you know, with a butterfly in it and a mason jar. Even the Son of God experienced this. This idea that, like, we chase one thing one day, we chase another thing the next day, and then ultimately everything is being... He saw it before him, this pursuit. And now the pursuit is constantly changing. You look in the book of... The book of John, chapter 6, Jesus has fed the 5,000. He's teaching. He's doing incredible things. And it says that the people there, they were ready to force him to be their king. They loved what Jesus was doing for them. They loved what Jesus was teaching. They loved who he was, and they wanted him to be the king. So he had to slip away. But shortly after, we see this verse in John, chapter 6, just a few verses later, after a confusing teaching that didn't make a whole lot of sense to the people, they went from wanting him to be the king to, at this point, many of his disciples turned away and deserted him. Trends change all the time. We're fickle. Our loyalties change all the time, and Jesus knew that. He knew the merry-go-round that existed. He's like, don't go down that path. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we're told, those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them, for this world as we know it will soon pass away. The moment we take our last breath, earthly treasure matters no more. And Jesus urged us to think beyond our last breath and think about eternity. Think about things of value. Think of things that will last. When our focus is on eternity, when our treasure is laid up in heaven, our lifestyle reflects that perspective. I think we've all known people, and when we interact with them, when we know them, when we have relationship with them, we can just see, like, man, they are kingdom-minded. They are kingdom-focused. They are eternity-focused. I love being around people like that because I need to learn how to be more like that in my life. I chase too many treasures on this earth. I should know better by now, but I still struggle with that. And I love being around people who you know that they are eternity-minded because they just live their life in a different way. They hold loosely to the things of this world. They hold loosely to the things of this life. They invest differently than people who are pursuing treasures here on earth. People who consider their belongings as belonging to God, they're going to use them in ways that have eternal significance. Protecting their own heart from the love of earthly treasures. People whose treasures who are in heaven, man, they can't be owned by possessions. They can't be bought off because nothing on earth is worth the cost of their soul, the price of their soul. They value the currency of heaven. Do you value the currency of heaven? If you're to have a scale set before you and the things of this world and the things of eternity, the things of God's kingdom, what side of the scale is going to tip heavier? When we chase the things of heaven, we value the currency of heaven. Investing in our treasure in material things, you guys, is going to keep us anchored to this world. When we chase after the things that this world says is good, that this world says our needs, that this world says will satisfy and give you identity and hope and security and safety, and it keeps us anchored to this world. This is not our home, amen? We are not designed, destined, created to live eternally here. We're designed, created to live eternally in the presence of Jesus Christ and his Father in heaven. But the more we pursue here, it weighs us down as like chains that are anchoring us to this place. that will perish in the end. Jesus Christ says again, no one can serve two masters. For you'll hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and be enslaved to money. Like I said, it weighs us down, it chains us down, it anchors us to this world. And this is not our home. Christ is calling us to a healthy faith. He's calling us to have the right perspective on what we see as true treasure and what has true value. He says in verse 22, your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. When your perspective is right, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is unhealthy, when it's clouded by the things of this world and the pursuits of this world, when your eye is unhealthy, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have is actually darkness, if you think the things of this world are the right thing to be pursuing, if the light you think you have is actually darkness, how deep that darkness truly is. How deep and how heavy those chains really are. How heavy that anchor is that you're dragging along with you, is what he's saying. Good spiritual vision means having the capacity to clearly see what God wants us to do and to see the world from his perspective, through his eyes. He wants our eyes to be his eyes, how we view the things of this world. Healthy eyes stay fixed on God. Remember King Solomon, this is what he said again, enjoy what you have rather than desiring what you don't have. It's almost like that Sheryl Crow song from the 90s, right? Soak up the sun, it's not about what you have. It's not about having what you want, it's about wanting what you have. Here's the truth. You will always, always battle with discontentment until you let Christ be all that you need. I guarantee there is nothing in this world that will satisfy as deeply and as eternally as relationship with Jesus Christ. I know that. I'm trying every day to live that. I know that in my head. I know that in my heart. I'm trying to make sure that my actions every day reflect what I know to be true in my head and what I know to be true in my heart. I will always battle discontentment until I let Christ be all that I need. My identity, my hope, my future, my forgiveness. I need to let him be everything. And then the things of this world can just kind of be the icing on the cake, right? We need to, as it says, store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. So what does that look like? What does it look like to store up treasures in heaven? None of us, as far as I know, have a savings account at the Bank of Heaven, right? That's not a thing that we can like put something into each month. Yeah, can you take X amount of dollars out of my paycheck and put that in the Bank of Heaven, you know, into that savings account for my future residence? It's not a literal thing. So what does that mean to store up treasures of heavenly value? Well, the first thing I think that needs to happen, the first step to what that looks like in our life is we need to have a new heart. We need to have a heart of flesh. And I think sometimes we have hard hearts that don't want to surrender to the teachings of Christ. Well, I'll follow you, Jesus, but I kind of want to still keep this stuff for myself, right? And we need a new heart that's all in. We can't be half in, half out, you know? Like Scripture calls that, you know, being lukewarm. Like walking the fence, that's called lukewarm. Like, you do not want to drink room temperature coffee, nor do you want to drink room temperature Dr. Pepper. Both of those are gross, right? You want your coffee hot, you want your Dr. Pepper ice cold. Lukewarm, blah, right? And Scripture tells us you got to be in one way or the other. So you got to have a new heart. You need to desire the things of heaven. And to desire the things of heaven, you got to have that new heart. And what does it mean to have a new heart? It means that you say yes to Jesus Christ. It means you say yes to his plan. It means you say yes to embracing who he created you to be. And maybe some of you this morning, you need to just say yes to Jesus for the very first time. Maybe what I'm saying makes no sense to you whatsoever because you haven't taken that step of saying yes and you still have a heart that is self-serving versus a heart that is renewed and changed because of Jesus Christ. So maybe the first step for someone here this morning is I need to say yes to Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And maybe you need to say yes to that for the very first time by saying, Jesus, I'm sorry I've lived my life without you. Would you please forgive me for that? And would you become my Savior? I accept you as my Savior and I accept your Father as my Heavenly Father. And if you choose to do that, then you have a brand new heart. That maybe some of us, we need to embrace and remember that we have a new heart. Because I think sometimes we forget that we are a new creation, right? We see the iPhone 15 titanium, which, let me just say, the stuff is neutral, right? There's nothing wrong with that phone. If you're looking at scripture on your phone this morning, please don't be embarrassed and put it away like, oh my gosh, Jason's making fun of my new phone. I am not. That is neutral. It's how you pursue and it's the value that you assign to it that makes it a good or a bad thing, okay? Stuff is not bad, all right? It's what you do with it, it's your perspective on it that makes it good or bad, right or wrong, okay? So please, don't be ashamed if you have an iPhone 15. Can I get my picture with it this morning? No, because I've got like a, I don't even know what this is anymore. But we need a new heart. Colossians tells us to set our minds on things that are above, not on things of this earth. Focus on what has value eternally. We need a new heart. How else can this look? I mean, we care for others well. We help the poor. We help those in need. Guys, we live, believe it or not, we live in a culture of abundance. And if you look at the church, when it first started out in Acts, what did they do? They huddled together. They lived together. They lived communally. They met each other's needs. If there's a need within the community and the body of Christ, possessions were sold to meet those needs. We didn't hold so tightly to our stuff. They're like, no, I'm gonna hold on to this old Coleman lantern because it doesn't matter that this person can't put dinner on the table. I'm gonna hold on to this lantern that I might use four times a year when I go camping because it looks cool and it's classic and I like old stuff. But no, I'm gonna hold on to this. Somebody else is gonna take care of that. And you know, when we live and store up treasures on earth and in heaven, and we live with an eternal perspective, we take care of those around us. Whether they're in the body of Christ or not, we meet the needs of those around us. We love well. We serve well. We give well. Jesus told a story in the parable of the banquet about inviting the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind. He says, you choose to do this, you choose to engage and care for what culture would call the less thans. When you choose to do that, you will be blessed, it goes on to say. You don't do it for the blessing, though. You do it because it's the right thing to do. Because they cannot repay you. You will be blessed by the Lord. The Lord sees what we do for him, and he's going to repay us. And although we may never see any of that kind of reward here on earth for helping those in need, we know that we're advancing God's kingdom. That's what it means to store up treasures in heaven. We're living our life here in such a way that advances God's kingdom right here, right now. So we need to care for others well. We need to take risks that honor God. Listen, guys, when we are not anchored down by the pursuits of the things of this world, just imagine the freedom that that brings to be able to go do the crazy things that God might be calling you to do. When he comes knocking on the door of your heart and says, listen, I want you to go internationally and spread the gospel. I want you to serve in the children's ministry for the first time in your life. I want you to help Austin with the teenagers of this community. Oh, no, not teenagers. Yeah, I want you to help Austin with the teenagers of this community. When we're not so attached to pursuing the treasures of this earth, it frees us up to do crazy, wild, passionate, eternity-changing things for God. It enables us to take risks that will honor God. We can live in crazy, wild abandonment, serving him. And those are exciting times. And it doesn't matter what your age is. I don't care how old you are. You can live a life of abandonment and carefreeness and risk for Jesus Christ. It means that we live a simple life. We choose to live simply and try not to attain the life that others might have around us. But that's a hard one. That comparison game is a hard one. And I tell you what, every time you play that comparison game, you will lose. Every time I play the comparison game, I will lose. So it's a choice to live a simple life. And the allure of making it in life keeps our eyes focused on earthly treasures and earthly pursuits. You know, people are going to strive for bigger and better and more in a number of ways. But like I said, chasing after success for ourselves and trying to keep up with everybody else is eventually going to leave us feeling empty, exhausted, and unsatisfied. Guys, our identity cannot be based on anything or anyone on earth. Our job is to reflect Christ and Christ alone. Christ and Christ alone. Christ and Christ alone. I think another way that we can store up treasures in heaven is by seeking the kingdom of God first. Pursue Jesus above all things. Surrender everything to him. When's the last time you walked around your house and said, God, this home is yours? God, I want this home to be used by you in my neighborhood. I want this home to be a lighthouse in this neighborhood. God, this RV is yours. And if there's a family that I can bless by letting them use my RV, by taking their family on a vacation that they maybe wouldn't have been able to take in the first place, this RV is yours. This car is yours. This extra car I have sitting in my driveway is yours. You know, maybe there's that single mom whose car broke down and she needs to get her kids to school and she needs to get to work. God, this car is yours. I'm going to loan this car out to this person that needs this car. Lord, my family is yours. Do with my family as you see fit. My spouse is yours. My kids are yours. When's the last time you verbally went around and you surrendered everything to Jesus Christ? And you surrendered everything to the usage of your Heavenly Father. We seek the kingdom of God first. We give everything over to him. I've chosen a life of ministry, and Pastor John can attest to this. We will not get rich choosing a life of ministry. We are blessed, and people have showered incredible generosity on us. So my wife and I, Amy, we try to hold on to our things very loosely. We have not amassed a lot in this lifetime. But what we have made a conscious decision about is what we do have, we hold on to very loosely so that we can seek the kingdom of God first, and whatever it is we may have that is at his disposal. We want our home to be a home where people can come and experience the love of Christ. Have you surrendered everything that you have in your life so that you can seek first the kingdom of God and store up treasures in heaven? I think the last thing is this. We need to trust the promises of God and do not be anxious. This is a complete Western mindset that we need to change, right? And it can be really scary to think about holding on loosely to the things of this world, not storing up treasures on earth, but storing up treasures in heaven. That's a radical shift in thinking. And anytime we face a radical shift in thinking, it can be really scary to embrace it. And it can be really scary to step out and live it. And I think what we need to do, if we're really going to truly pursue expanding God's kingdom by investing in things of heavenly value, we need to trust the promises of God and don't be anxious. And I think I heard that Pastor John recently taught on the passage that says, do not worry. That comes almost immediately after this passage about not storing up treasures on earth. And I think that makes sense that Jesus would follow up this teaching with a teaching on don't be anxious and don't worry. You'll be taken care of. You will be taken care of. Did you hear what I said? You will be taken care of. God will not call you to something. God will not call you to a lifestyle and abandon you there. Live a life that is kingdom-minded. Live a life that values things of eternity. Hold loosely to the things of this world. Get off the exhausting merry-go-round of storing up treasures here on earth. No matter how you have approached earthly treasure in the past, it is never too late to think differently and to pursue Christ above all. I came up with just a couple of questions. I don't know if they're going to be on the screen. I think they're in your handout maybe, but a couple of questions to think about this week. Maybe even a couple of questions to think about during worship. But what treasure do you need to reevaluate in your life? For some of you, it's like something popped into your head immediately. I know how God works. For some of you, something immediately popped into your head. Don't ignore that. For some of you, it may take some time to process that question, but what treasure do you need to reevaluate in your life? How will you live more open-handed with the stuff in your life? This is yours, God. You have entrusted it to me temporarily, and I want to use it to elevate you. How can you pursue Christ more in your life this week?
And the last thing I want to leave you with is this thought. The treasure of this world that you and I hunt for will never love us back as much as we love it. The Green Bay Packers do not love me. And I don't love them too much right now either, how they're performing on the field. My Coleman lantern that I love so much and I think is so cool, it does not love me. My house does not love me. Remember, the stuff that we, the treasure that we pursue will never love us back as much as we love it. And the remedy is to build contentment in Christ and Christ alone. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you love us enough to caution us about having the right perspective on treasures here on earth. Lord, we're grateful that we get a teaching like that from your Son who observed it, who lived it, who saw the challenge of it, and yet, despite the challenge, was adamant in saying, don't pursue treasures on this earth where rust will destroy and moths will eat. Lord, I pray for all of us when we walk away this morning, a couple of those questions we'll just keep chewing on. What do we need to hold loosely? What do we need to reevaluate? How can we honor you more than anything else this week in our life? Lord, if there's things that we need to loosen our grip on, will you show us? Will you show us how we can live kingdom-minded? Will you show us how we can invest in things of eternal value? How we can invest in relationships? How we can invest in your kingdom? How we can invest in serving you? How we can take risks for you when we're not encumbered by the chains of this world and pursuits of this world? Give us the boldness to live a life that reflects you and you alone. May you be exalted. May you be seen through the life of every person in encounter this morning. May this corner in Ventura continue to be a lighthouse, shine brightly who you are and draw people to you. We love you. Thanks for choosing us to be those lights. Again, Lord, give us the strength to say no to the things that are distracting us, the things that have temporary value, no eternal value. Help us say no to those and be strong and say yes to things that have eternal value and will expand your kingdom because you are worthy. We love you, Lord. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name, and all God's people said.